Well, hey, we can celebrate today. Today is a really cool milestone, September 8th. ReChurch, the church that you all helped plant, is actually officially launching this morning. So we can celebrate that together. We want to pray together with them as it's been a year or so that ReChurch has, we sent a handful of people up to Cadillac and said, hey, we're gonna just put a good shot in their arm with some great people from the church here. And then so it's been about a year or so that they've been, Pastor Lance and Miranda have been on the ground, and they've been just kind of doing their thing with a bunch of other folks and all that good stuff, just trying to really do God's work in Cadillac. And so they're officially launching this morning. So today was their official launch, and we're praying with them and for them today that God just blesses that as they have a great time doing that. So continue to be with, asking God to continue to be with them as launch day is here, but then as they continue to meet on Sunday mornings throughout the year, and as they continue just to really just meet the need of that community. So huge that there's just a definite need. People always ask me, well, you know, why does Cadillac or why does any other town, you name it, need another church, right? And I've always been asked that question throughout my ministry, and they're like, yeah, you know, why do they need another church? There's so many other churches in the area, and I always am thinking, well, you know, there's so many different ways to reach people for Jesus. People don't always like one certain way, or they're different. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different personality. Everybody has a different history or background. And so we need as Christians to be evangelical in any way we can, in every way we can, to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so God has created us. God has created you. God has created this church to be reaching people for Jesus. And so if we're not doing that, we might as well close the doors. Amen? We might as well just close this place right on up, because we need to be continually missional and reaching people for Jesus Christ. And so, so we're going to continue our series in Ephesians. We're winding this baby down. I know that you may be sick of hearing about Ephesians this last summer. We've been taking the most of the summer in Ephesians, but it's been good. It's been such a good book to dive into. So many great truths in which the Apostle Paul, the writer of Ephesians, has giving wisdom from God to the church. And so today we're going to be continuing on in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you want to grab your cell phones, grab a Bible, whatever you want to read, or just simply read it on the screen with us. We're talking about living in the light of the Spirit today. And so we're kind of just going to jump in. Have you ever done this before? I brought my cell phone up with me today. Have you ever like forgotten to put it on the charger at night? Right? I mean, all the new iPhones, they're all like, yeah, they've got great battery life. They're supposed to last forever. I guess there's a new iPhone coming out in September. It's saying longer battery life. But what you need to do is charge it, right? I mean, the battery is great. It'll last you forever, it says, but you still have to put it on the charger at night. You still have to stick this thing. And have you ever forgotten? Or I have one of those magnet chargers, right? That just kind of like you put it on the desk and it sticks right to it and it charges, like, and it's pretty cool. But I've done it before where you miss. Like I put it on the charger and it misses and it doesn't connect, doesn't have that connectivity. Anybody with me on that? You ever done that before? Shake your heads. Yes, you're looking at me like weird. You all know what an iPhone is, right? Okay, all right. Are you Android people? Or your flip phone still? Or some of you are smoke signals? So you miss. You go put it on a charger. I throw it down on my nightstand, and it misses. It doesn't connect. I wake up in the morning, and I'm going throughout my day and coming into the office, and I'm like, 15% battery life. Are you kidding me? What's going on? I've got a whole day. I mean, I've got the whole day of using my phone. I've got to communicate. And you go crazy. What happened? And I must have missed my charger. And it didn't work. And so hopefully you may identify what I'm talking about, is that the batteries need to be recharged. Like the battery has to be filled. It has to be filled. It has to be continually filled in order for it to work. It's not like we can plug these things into an outlet and then use them anymore. Like we sometimes you can do that with a device. You can't just plug right into the source of electricity and just go with it. These are meant to go and be and go around and do what you need to do and use your cell phone. And so as we think about that, we think about the whole idea and that concept in a way that our batteries need charged with the power of the Holy Spirit. Like the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we connect with God on a daily basis, when we connect with God regularly, we need that charge in our lives. We need the electricity in our lives. We need the energy in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 20. We're going to just hold on. There's a lot of stuff in here today, and I want to just pull a lot of good nuggets of truth this morning. Verse 8, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true." Let me just pause there for a second. We all have flashlights on our camera phone, right? We all have these lights that light up, you know? I don't even think you can probably see that because the lights are enough bright up here. But in a dark room, that little light, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how bright these lights are. And so when we think about the light of God being in us, Paul uses this word picture of light. He said, "For this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true." It's not us that produces what's good, right, and true. It's not anything that we have to do within us, because within us we're sinful people. Who we are, we're human. In our own humanity, we can't produce what is good, what is right, and what is true. Trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work. I mess up. I make mistakes. In fact, within me, I produce things that are bad. I produce things that are wrong. And I produce things that are false. But as the light of the Holy Spirit within us, and Paul says this, it says, it's only that light within us, which is the Holy Spirit of the Lord, that produces the good, the right, and the truth. Verse 10. "Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness." This stuff's good. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. I mean, I can camp out there for just a minute. I can camp out there for a long time, but I've got other things I want to share. But if you think about the worthless deeds of darkness, I mean, that's just huge. What are the worthless deeds of darkness? What are the things that we look at? What are the things that we watch on TV? The things, the shows, the movies? I mean, the darkness of this world is so evident. And Paul's simply saying, take no part. I'll keep going. Verse 12. "It's shameful even to talk about these things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. That is why it said, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" That's that illumination of Holy Spirit coming into our lives, being illuminated, being saved by Christ. Verse 15, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise, make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts." I love that part. Making music to the Lord in your hearts, because some of you can't sing. Like, keep it to yourself, seriously. Like God didn't say just make music to everybody out loud, because anyway, you get my point. "Give thanks for everything. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ." And so interesting, as we think of this infilling of the Holy Spirit, is just like this flashlight on my phone, just like any other flashlight that you may have, the Holy Spirit needs to enter in us. The Holy Spirit needs to fill us. That battery needs to be recharged in our lives on a constant daily basis, and so that we can be filled with the light of the Holy Spirit. It's that, and getting rid of those evil deeds of darkness, getting through all that garbage, and so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the theme here is in which Paul is trying to instruct the church of Ephesus in the same way we're taking it in today, is understanding that getting rid of the old self, again, there's a theme here in Ephesians, and putting on the newness of Christ. And he's given us great examples. He's simply saying, interesting, he kind of uses this. This is where some good Wesleyans, right, we take this verse 18. We're like, don't get drunk. Don't get drunk. And so in years past, we've really shifted the pendulum of alcohol is wrong, alcohol is bad, it is the evilness of the world. And instead of like really focusing in on what we should do, we're always talking about what we shouldn't. Like there's churches, denominations, Christians are saying alcohol is of the devil. Don't get drunk. But how many churches in that same energy, with that same passion, with that same regularity, are saying on the other side of what Paul is saying, but be filled with the Holy Spirit? Historically, the Wesleyan church has really cut that out of this passage. We're kind of saying, the Holy Spirit, like that's a different part of the Trinity that we're really kind of unknown and we're kind of fearful of. We're a little bit scared of that. In fact, this whole speaking in tongues thing, we're just going to shun that completely. I know some Wesleyan pastors, and again, I'm not trying to beat up on our own denomination, but I'm just simply saying the legalistic aspect of the gifts of the Holy Spirit have completely been shut out, have been cut off from our churches. And that concerns me. Because what we're saying is because we don't know enough about it, or it's weird, or it's different, or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual gifts, we just don't like it. And so we're just going to put Holy Spirit in a little compartment over here and say, we're going to talk about don't drink, don't smoke, don't do this, don't do that, and don't do this. That's what we're going to talk about. And so we miss, in verse 18, we miss the point. We miss the point. What's the term? You miss the forest through the trees. Or you miss it. Because we're simply saying don't. In our small group this morning, Darren was talking about that same type of thing. We're saying, what are some of the things we grew up with in church? Where are some of those things that we're talking about that could be legalistic, and we miss the point of truly what we're doing? Here's a great example. That we as the church have thrown out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. Do you guys know what that term means? So back in the days that they would have to share one bathtub, and some families would have like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 kids. And so what happens is dad jumps in first, washes up, mom's next, and then the eldest all the way down to the baby. And you know why? Little Wilder. I'm looking at Little Wilder right here. You know why? How that statement came along? Because the bathtub is so stinking dirty, you can't even see through the water. So they're saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because you can't even see the baby in the water. Anyway, that's really disgusting. I don't even know why I shared that with you. But you see, the fact is that we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, meaning we're ridding ourselves of all of the beauty and the most amazing infilling gift, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're missing the charger. We're missing it. And so as we're thinking about how Paul is sharing with the church, this means it means to be filled. The Greek word is plero. It's to be filled. This idea of getting filled up enough, like when you're eating something, you are plero. And Paul uses this Greek term to simply say, it is something to behold. It is something to behold, is this power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to be careful that we as a church, we don't miss out on the thing that we have been so nervous about or really grew up in, that the holiness movement, which we are kind of saying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, our charismatic brother and sisters, we're just going to let them be. And instead, we're just going to move on and tell people what they're doing wrong. We're going to continue just to shun people, shame people. And if you don't look like us, smell like us, think like us, you're not one of us. And so, church, as my prayer for you, as I leave and move on, as God has called us to in other ministry contexts, my prayer for you is that each and every one of you would tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you every step of the way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. So, obviously, the teaching of the Holy Spirit is huge. Like, there is a lot there that we don't have time this morning to unpack. But as we think about what Paul is simply saying to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, I just want to read this again. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your heart. And give thanks for everything to God the Father. And so this morning, we're going to take communion. We're going to share in this beautiful means of grace together today. And so I encourage you today, is if you're feeling low, if you're feeling like you've missed the charger in your life, like you just kind of flopped down and it just didn't connect, you're just missing that connection. If you're feeling low and you're just feeling out of it, if you're just feeling just... I just not have connected with God in a long time. If that's you, I would encourage you to take this time right now. Take this time to recharge. Take this time as we celebrate the elements of Jesus Christ and His crucifixion and resurrection. Take this moment to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Come and be filled, will you? Come and be filled. And so as we think and we consider, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture out of 1 Corinthians. And Paul writes, "For I pass on to you what I've received from the Lord Himself. On the night that He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks for it. He broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Often as you drink of it, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." And so I would encourage you this morning to take some time alone. Take this moment in which we can rest in this means of grace. As we think of the juice and the bread this morning, take some time today to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So if you are in here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you firmly believe that Jesus has died for your sins, taking your place with death on a cross, if you believe that Jesus Christ has rose again and broke the power of sin and death, I welcome you to come and celebrate that today. You don't have to be a member of our church. You need to be a member of the Lord's family. And so how we do that here today is I just ask that you'd come, take the bread, take the juice, and you can bring it back to your seat where you are. And when you're ready, you can partake of the elements and just celebrate. Celebrate with God today. So with thanksgiving in our hearts, we give thanks for Jesus. We give thanks this morning for the victory that has taken place. Would you come?